to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in California, here in Garden Grove. And I am so incredibly excited as we focus on what we can do as Catholics to make a difference. There is a group from Yardley, Pennsylvania, with this organization called Community Emergency Fund. And I'd like to welcome the four people who have made that difference. I'm sure there are many others. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay. First, I'd like to introduce, and in fact, we'll have them introduce themselves, Ken Driver, who has made a huge difference in the area of social action, and I believe has been really one of the leading architects of this program. Welcome to the show, Ken, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
First of all, thank you for having us on. I've been a member of the Social Action Committee for 16 years, and the committee, the Social Action Committee, has been around about 30 years. And for the last 3 years, I was voted in as the head of the committee. So it's been an honor to serve the community and the church.
Well, welcome to the show, Ken. And Fred?
Yes, hi, Deacon. I've been in our parish for about 8 years now, and I've been a member of the Social Action Committee almost all that time, I would say maybe 7 years. And I'm also Grand Knight for our Mice of Columbus Council here at St. Ignatius. I've been the Grand Knight for going on 2 years now. So I have a little bit of foot in both doors, as you might say.
And I just want to say something, a shout out, because I'm a third degree knight and participate. In fact, I'm the chaplain for the local council here. And I believe very strongly in the Knights of Columbus. And this is really a shout out to all knights out there. As we go through this program, take a listen to it, because this may be something that you want to put in your parish. So again, thanks so much, Fred, and a worthy Grand Knight. And then Jennifer Sullivan.
Hi, Deacon Steve. Thank you for having us on. I am a longtime St. Ignatius parishioner, my husband and three daughters, and I've been a member of the Social Action Committee for about 3 years, and was really fortunate to have the opportunity to work with this great group of people on the Parish Community Emergency Fund as well.
Well, welcome, and thank you so much for being on the show. And finally, my good friend, John Celentano.
Good morning, Steve. I've been a member of the St. Ignatius Parish for about 6 years now, but actually was a member about 25 years ago. My oldest was baptized in the parish, and then we moved around the world and around the state for a bit and ended up coming back to St. Ignatius in our retirement. And having joined the parish, I joined then the Knights of Columbus about 3 years ago and have really enjoyed that. Didn't know much about the Social Action Committee, but as a result of the work that we did together, I've learned a bit more and have become a recent member of the Social Action Committee as well.
We're talking to four dynamic people from St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish in Yardley, Pennsylvania, about an organization that they started, Community Emergency Fund, and each of them made a reference to social action. For many of our listeners, perhaps you're not aware of what that term means. The Catholic Church has many, many teachings on social action and to make a difference in Catholic social teaching. Ken, I'm going to go to you as president. Tell our listeners, what is social action all about as a Catholic and how they can make a difference?
Well, I think it's based on two things. One is the golden rule, which is probably in every faith and in every language around the world. And so that's a basis for social action, you know, do unto others. The second is, I believe Jesus gave us the second commandment, and that's to love one another as he has loved us. And I think that's the whole basis for action, and it can take many directions and many forms. The Social Action Committee in Yardley, we started out with one family 30 years ago, and now we have about 40-plus members. And if a person has an idea about how they want to reach out, such as Jennifer did recently in the last year and a half or so to work on feeding the homeless, and she helped us join with, I believe, 11 or 12 other Christian services in Bucks County. And she put together a program where the first Thursday of every month, some of our Social Action Committee members put together meals and serve with dignity homeless and people in need. And we have other outreach efforts. We collect money quarterly. We help people who are struggling. For example, in November, December, we had a church family that had a house fire and was living out of a hotel, and we were able to give them money to help them purchase clothing and food and so forth until the insurance company kicked in. We had another family that attended the St. Ignatius Elementary School, and they didn't have any money for Christmas presents, and they didn't have clothes, actually, money for clothes. And we were able to dip into our coffers and help them out. So, and there's other things. We help the Catholic Social Services with a thing called Mary's Cupboard, where we donate every week. We collect food, and twice a month we deliver it to Catholic Social Services and help them to be able to help those people who need food on the table.
Awesome. That is fantastic. My brothers and sisters, there was a mention of Matthew's gospel, Matthew 25, and this is verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? And the king said to them in reply, Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. My brothers and sisters, when I was in the diaconate formation program, there was a phrase that was used that really stuck with me. If not you, then who? If not you, then who? And it's so important that we say yes to that prompting, yes to what the Lord is saying. And you look at John 15:16, it says, it's not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Indeed, the four people on this radio show here today, these four people were called by God to make a difference. I want to get right into how did the Community Emergency Fund get started?
It's interesting. A couple of us called Father Brownholz, who's our pastor, at about the same time, within a day or two of each other. And I think we separately but collectively identified that we knew that the pandemic was going to affect all of us. But some of us would be more affected than others, whether it be illness itself or financial hardship. And we talked to Father about somehow figuring out a way that our church can get involved, leveraging the ministries we already have to help those in need, identify those in need, raise some money, et cetera. And Father connected the four of us together through the Social Action Committee and the Knights of Columbus. And we had a quick meeting on the phone. Actually, some of us had never met each other in person before, and some of us had never actually met each other until today. In this radio show, and we came together because we worked on the phone. And we developed within a couple of days a plan that Father supported, and the rest is history.
For our listening audience, could you help us define exactly what Community Emergency Fund is?
Well, I think, this is Fred, Deacon. I think we all came to the realization when the pandemic hit that there were going to be there would be a number of members of our extended community even that would be hurt financially, especially, and may not have the knowledge of what resources were out there besides what help we could offer through our financial wherewithal of the fund. So we wondered what could we do and how could we reach out to those people. I think initially, well, our first meetings were established to set up how we were going to operate and who we would try to reach. And we came to the decision that we wanted to help those that were impacted by the pandemic itself. As Ken mentioned, the Social Action Committee has been in existence for many, many years and has helped members of our community with different things that Ken has mentioned. But we wanted to establish a means to help those specifically affected by the pandemic, whether it was with clothing, meals, help with, I think, the phrase we use with everyday necessities, such as meeting co-pays for doctors, prescriptions, paying utilities, and whatnot. So we kind of set up some guidelines on how we could help just in that limited, with that limited focus on those that were specifically affected by the pandemic.
A question for Fred Wise, who is the Grand Knight for the Knights of Columbus in Yardley at St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish. How did you let the Knights know about this, and did they get behind it right away as something that they would embrace?
Yes, 100%. The Knights are behind it 100%. I think we have, of course, our email list of 159 members that we immediately let know what we were going to try and do, and we asked for their help seeking contributions to the fund, first of all, but also, just equally as important, trying to get the word out, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but trying to get the word out on how we would go about doing that to let those in need know that we were there. So we tried to ask Knights anytime they were patronizing a local establishment, ask the proprietor to put up a notification, letting everybody know that we were here to help. And we have, as you are well aware, there are Knights, many Knights that are involved in several other ministries in the parish and outside the parish. So we had a few brother Knights that had compiled extensive email lists from their work during prior years, and we use that as another resource as a way to reach out to those even beyond the Knights Council or Knights Council.
My brothers and sisters, I'm so excited to have these people online here to tell us about this community emergency fund. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're an Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to find out more about how they were actually able to raise a substantial amount of money and get this money in the hands of people who so much needed it in the midst of this terrible pandemic that we've been part of. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back talking about the Community Emergency Fund with four wonderful people, Catholics, devoted people from St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish in Yardley, Pennsylvania. And this is a program where they felt led by the Holy Spirit to make a difference in the area of Catholic social action, to say, we're not going to just sit back and do nothing. There are people who are hurting, people who need our help. Need our help financially, need our help emotionally, need encouragement. And that makes a huge difference. But we live in a world where we need financial aid in order to accomplish much of what we need to do. And so raising money is very important. And my understanding is that you started with a certain amount of money, but then had to raise money. And Jennifer, I'm going to go to you and ask you the question of tell us about the financial support that you were able to get. How were you able to do it? And then how were you able to distribute that money?
Okay, thanks, Deacon Steve. It's wonderful. This idea kind of bubbled up from the laity. We early on got the support of our pastor, and we generated a letter to our parishioners that went out. Our pastor, Father Brownholt, spoke very regularly at online masses about the need for the Community Emergency Fund and encouraged donations. And that helped us immensely because our parish at the time was closed. The state of Pennsylvania, along with most states, were closed down for about 10 weeks. So online mass attendance was very high. It was very encouraged by our pastor, Father Brownholt. The letter went out to our parishioners. We did a lot of publicizing of the need for funding, everything from talking to different newspapers, doing some interviews about the emergency fund and the need for funding. We posted notices online on Facebook groups in our town. We posted flyers at grocery stores. We did some radio interviews. So we really got the word out and really emphasized to people as well. We think that really resonated with people that every dollar that you gave would go to someone in need. So we were really surprised by, you know, the generosity of our community. We know our parish is very generous through our work with the Social Action Committee, but we raised at the end of the day close to $100,000. So
wow, really was, that is amazing. Really, God is good. That is absolutely spectacular. And why do you think the people responded in the way that they did?
Well, this is John speaking. I think there are a number of reasons. One is we were able to get the support of Father Brown Bolts and get the word out and put the word in language that people could understand and relate to. We were going to support members of our community, our neighbors, not only our parishioners, but other members of our community. We were able to tell people that 100% of the money was going to go to people in need, and there would be no administrative burden. But I think there was also a tremendous amount of trust, and the legacy that the parish had in the community was celebrating its 100th year. Always been a good citizen, always been a good parish. The Social Action Committee's history and legacy, the Knights of Columbus, it sounded very credible. And the second thing I'd say is that people, I think the average person wants to make a difference, whether that's because of their faith or their commitment to their community. People want to make a difference, and they saw this as a way to participate in helping their neighbors, or their community. And frankly, while we thought we would get good support, we had no idea how good the support would be. We had $26,000 in 1 week.
And wow.
Then, as we said, it was $100,000 over the course of the 9 months throughout the year. And I think, Ken, it might be useful. You told us an anecdote the other day that we had a recent donation.
John, you just mentioned something that reminds me back in my working days that every employee wants to be heard, contribute, and make a difference. And I think that holds true with this community effort, is that people did hear. They could see it. They read about it every day in the newspaper about how this pandemic was hitting everybody. And when they had the ability, they wanted to contribute, and they knew they were going to make a difference because they trusted the process. But I was sharing with this team the other day that I just got a thank you note maybe about a week ago, and it was from a retired couple, an elderly retired couple, who had received the recent government reimbursement check for $500. And instead of them using it, they said, "We trust God will give us what we need, but we think we can help other people." And they donated that whole $500 to the Community Action Fund to help people in need.
That is fantastic. And, you know, when you're led by the Spirit, great miracles happen, my brothers and sisters. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he told us he would give us the Holy Spirit. He told us that he would never abandon us. And one of the major things that I believe that this Community Emergency Fund has done is let people know that they're not alone. Let people know that they're not forgotten. Can you tell us how this has helped people grow spiritually? How people knew that they were loved as a result of this, that they were not abandoned in their hour of need? Anyone have any comments regarding, you know, how did this help them in their spiritual journey?
I can tell you that we received, Deacon Steve, the most amazing text, email, letters from the recipient saying, "Praise God, thank you." Just restoring their faith. These people were very much struggling, and the fact that a church of people they didn't know were willing to give them money, frankly, you know, restored their faith in a very dark time. And we hope, one of our goals is the fund, we hope it helps, you know, bring people, you know, closer to God, you know, back to the church if possible. So it really was amazing. I think for all of us here, we were just so touched by the letters and emails and texts we received after these donations were given.
This is Fred. I just wanted to add to what Jennifer had said. Well, first of all, the funds that we raised, for the most part, I would say, came from parishioners, but there's a good amount because we did compile a list and to send thank yous and reminders and follow-up, that kind of thing. There was a good amount that came in from people beyond our parish also, friends, relatives of parishioners once they heard of this, other professionals that wanted to make a donation. And I'm sitting here thinking that, you know, this, you may think of this as the Spirit using us to connect those who wanted to help with those who really did need help. One of the things that we did as we maybe got into this a month or two into what we're trying to do was publish in our parish bulletin some edited responses and thank yous that we had received just to show donors the thankfulness and the gratitude that was coming about from those who we were able to help and just connect the two of them, really. And I think that was really what it is connection that maybe the Spirit was using us to do.
My brothers and sisters, we're on the air with four wonderful people from Yardley, Pennsylvania, who put together a program, Community Emergency Fund, to help people in their hour of need during this terrible pandemic that we've all been experiencing. They're at St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish in Yardley, Pennsylvania, and they have made such a big difference in the lives of many people. Tell us how many people do you think you've touched, and maybe continue on in telling us how that helped them, any particular stories that helped them grow spiritually as a result of this. How many people do you feel like you've touched as a result of this emergency fund?
It's been about 50 families.
That's
and
awesome.
Each family roughly received about $1,300. We also helped fund five other agencies that in turn helped many, many, many people with food and clothing and so forth. So in addition to the 50 families, I mean, there was probably hundreds of other people that received from some of our donations that we were able to donate to different agencies.
I know where we are. We have what's called deaneries, which is a grouping of parishes together here in Southern California. And I'm not sure to what extent that happens throughout the country. But how did you make a difference in maybe communicating this with other parishes? Were you able to talk to other leaders of adjacent parishes around you to let them know what you were doing? Was that something that happened, or could that be something that happens going forward?
Steve, it's John here. We made some reach outs. We, a couple of the Knights organizations connected with each other. We're aware of a parish in one or two towns over that were doing things. And I know that Father Brownholt had talked to some of his peers. We didn't really work with another parish because we were trying to focus on our community and establish something that we had the ability to do quickly. We did, however, reach out to other leaders, civic leaders, the mayor, the borough council, the board of supervisors of the adjacent town, our local state house representative. It was interesting because we got a lot of support from those various organizations in terms of certainly getting some awareness and perhaps getting some donations. But importantly, we did get referrals to people in need. And those organizations, you know, within our parish, people knew if they needed help, they could go to the parish. But outside our parish, through our government and other contacts, non-parishioners were able to reach out to us through the parish and get the benefits that we could provide. And I'll just add two other things to what Ken said in terms of the number and how we help people, $1,300 per family. We also provided, we had a situation where somebody needed a new lawnmower, and we had a parishioner who donated that. We had somebody who needed some work done around the house, and we found a volunteer to help with that. And we talk to people. People often just need to be talked to. And maybe I'll throw it over to Jennifer and have her mention how she helped people beyond just financial needs. Because I think people needed money, people needed help, but people also needed to know how to navigate other resources.
before we get into that, Jennifer, let's hold on that for a minute here because we're going to take a break. The utilization of resources within a community is really important. And so many times we don't know what resources are available, you know, within the Catholic Church, but also with outside the Catholic Church, within government. There are many, many resources available. So we're anxious to hear about how you were able to navigate the system to be able to get resources to bring to bear to help people in need during this challenging pandemic that we've been part of. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're listening to Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about this exciting Community Emergency Fund. Empowered by the Spirit, talking about the Community Emergency Fund with four incredible people from Yardley, Pennsylvania at St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish. We were just right before the break talking about how do you get resources to bring to bear to people in need, not just within the church, maybe within the parish, but outside the parish, maybe even going to other resources that you have. And Jennifer, I believe you were starting to answer that question.
Yes, thanks, Deacon. We recognized early on that although we wanted the fund to give people money, that people had many other needs. And one of my roles with the fund was to help connect people to resources, particularly government resources. In my professional life, I am an attorney and I practice doing advocacy right across the river here in Trenton, New Jersey, doing policy advocacy. So through my professional career, I have some knowledge of government resources available. So one of my roles was to do two things. First, to reach out to every individual or family we gave money to make them aware of some other resources that they may be available to them, including unemployment insurance or rental assistance or SNAP or food assistance. So I would talk to them all individually, let them know, you know, try to find out more about their personal situation and try to connect them with appropriate resources. And we were successful in many cases in connecting people with resources that would help them longer term. Also, I put together a resource sheet that is still on our parish website, you know, with different resources available in the community. Everything from, you know, the website for unemployment to the local food pantry, areas covered run by Catholic Social Services, to information about rental assistance, and have updated that. We'll continue to update that. There's a lot of changes going on at the government level, so we try to get the word out, you know, an additional resource to the fund to get the word out about these resources to individuals.
Awesome. We're talking to four dynamic people here who started an organization, Community Emergency Fund, as a result of Catholic social teaching and being part of Catholic social action. One of the things that's so important is to understand in order to accomplish this, you need the support of so many different people. And it always starts with the pastor. The pastor jumped into this right away, apparently, and has written letters and got support. And tell us how you got the support of the parish pastor, community, staff, rather, in order to make this really work. How did that happen?
A couple of us, when this pandemic hit, reached out to Father Brownholtz and said, you know, how can we help out? We know the community, our parish is going to need help. And, you know, it was interesting when you asked that question. What popped in my mind is that he actually opened the way for us, supported it 110%, but then trusted us to just do what we needed to do. I mean, there was no questions asked. There was nobody looking over our shoulders. We worked as a team and trusted each other as a team and gelled very quickly together. And the whole thing just blossomed. You know, just when you talk about the Holy Spirit working, that was the Holy Spirit working.
Well, being on a parish staff, obviously, for almost 14 years now as a deacon, the pastors and those on parish staff, they want lay people to step up and show leadership. And if you come up with a well-thought-out plan and not just an idea, because so many people bring up ideas, but they don't have a plan behind it. They don't have people supporting it, like the Knights of Columbus or other organizations within the parish. So for our listening audience, let the Holy Spirit lead you to a great idea, but also understand that you need resources, you need support from other people, you need to come up with who else besides me is going to support this, and how is this going to be executed? How is this going to be managed? And I want to ask about that, because the management of some type of new organization or any organization is always a challenge. And so tell us about that. How did you manage this fund? You were able to be very successful, get $100,000 in donations, which is fantastic. It's like, now what do you do, and how do you manage it? How do you determine who gets it and all the other things associated with it?
Well, Steve, this is John speaking. When we first started, we had a couple of Zoom calls and talked about what was needed, what kinds of things could we support, how would we administer the fund. And we have a wonderful office manager, Maria, at St. Ignatius Parish Office, and a wonderful finance head, Greg, who immediately became part of our team, sometimes on the Zoom calls, but importantly, helping get the checks written. Ken ran the meetings very well. That we had the first couple a little longer because we were concerned we wouldn't have enough money. While we raised a lot of money quickly, we knew the need would be big, and we had to discern, you know, when we got a note from somebody advocating either for themselves or advocating for a family they knew, what were the needs? Which of those needs were appropriate for us to address directly with our limited resources? Were there other locations, or I should say other resources that they could address those needs through? How would we make sure that we kept the right relationship with beneficiaries or clients, as we call them, so that they would feel comfortable coming back if they needed more? So our meetings at first were pretty frequent, twice a week, early in the morning, about an hour long. And Ken did a great job leading us through. Everybody brought their own gifts and talents and connections to the team, and we decided who to give money to and how much through that process.
For the people who are interested in maybe starting something similar, it's often very important to understand what were the key learnings. What went right that you said, wow, this is fantastic, this is actually working. But what are some of the other key learnings as it relates to what were some things maybe you might have done slightly differently, or what are some of the key challenges that you had to overcome?
I'll tell you, one of the things that I learned from this and I think helped us to be successful is the Social Action Committee, I think, really is set a tone for this. There's always been a trust because the Social Action Committee for 30 years has given out money, and there was a process that I had learned from the guy who started this, Rich Petrucco, that he had to protect the integrity and privacy of the people that were in need and wanted help. And so I think the team of four, and then the two people from the parish, you know, Greg and Maria, we adhered to privacy, and when somebody applied for money or had reached out for help, they didn't want to give their name, they didn't want to give anything, they didn't want to give too much information, but they were asking for help. And I would tell them that, you know, it's between me and you. There's only two people that are going to know who you are, and that's myself. You have to trust me. And the guy who writes the check, Greg, and I said, you just have to give trust and faith that you won't face embarrassment, this won't go public, nobody's going to know who you are. And I think that, to me, looking back on it, that's a key ingredient to building trust and rapport with the people that you're dealing with.
Yeah, Ken, you were great. As the calls came in, we responded to them as a number, right? So requester number 7, and we had that discussion, you know, what was their situation? And Ken, as he said, he knew the name. Greg had to know the name so he could write the check, but we didn't necessarily all talk about the name unless when Ken reached out to them and offered for Jennifer to talk with them, then he would pass the name on. And people felt like they had a dignified, fast, you know, people said, wow, there's no bureaucracy. We were really fast at getting. We would have a meeting, and the next day the check would go out.
Yeah. And we didn't require any documentation. You know, Ken interviewed each candidate confidentially, to share the financial aspects with us. We didn't require documentation. We trusted people to, you know, give us that information, and that helped, I think, with a very seamless process. It was very quick. Most of the applicants to our fund were so surprised that, you know, the process was so quick, and they, you know, used from the time they, you know, usually we encourage people to email us or called us to the time they got the check if it was approved. It's really just a few days. And these are people in very dire need. So I think that's, you know, talk about lesson learned. I think that's something that if other parishes, we strongly encourage other parishes to engage or to start something like this, make the process as seamless and dignified as possible.
Awesome.
I was just going to say, Deacon Sister Fred, I think we are very much mindful of where our referrals were. In many cases, they were really just up against it with no place else to turn. So I think we were very conscious of that and very trusting also. You know, as Jennifer said, we really didn't verify anything that they were requesting. We just trusted them. We trusted in the Lord that, you know, that everything was truthful. And we also asked them specifically, what do you need? We didn't just say, well, we need $1,000, period. We would ask them specifically, what do you need? Do we need this for a copay? We need it for a medical emergency. We need it to see us through till whatever happens. And Ken was able to get specifics, and Jennifer and John. And we had really established relationships with almost everybody by asking them what their story was, really.
And that's one of the most important things we can ever do, my brothers and sisters, is to treat people with dignity. One of the things that I love about Catholic social teaching, Catholic focus, is to treat everyone with that human dignity, the dignity of each individual person. When I was going through formation, I was taught that you stand on holy ground when you're standing in front of someone, talking to them on the phone, whatever it might be. And the holiness is certainly what they're giving you in telling you their story. Make them understand that they are important. Make them understand that they're not alone, that they are God's children, that they are God's sons and daughters. When I went one time in Hawaii, I went to one of the local major park areas there by the aquarium. Those who have been there that may know, in Waikiki area, there's more homeless there than almost anywhere around. And there'd be long, long lines of people. We'd get there at 6 a.m. in the morning to feed them. But after they were fed, I went around and started talking to them individually. And I asked them, what is your name? And tell me your story. Tell me about yourself. And they'd say their name, and they'd say, my name's John, my name's Mary, whatever it might be. But so many of them were Christian Catholic names. And I'd tell them, are you aware of the fact that you were named after St. John or a Blessed Mother, whatever it might be, and tell them a little bit about that. But I would tell them that they were holy and blessed. And then I'd ask them to pray for me, to pray for me. And they would look at me like I was crazy often, but they would come out with these beautiful prayers. And that's what I believe the Catholic Church is all about, is showing the dignity, the love of Jesus Christ, letting people know that they're important. We're come right back to talk about how you can make a difference within your parish with a similar program of this Community Emergency Fund. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You've been listening to Empowered by the Spirit. We're back with four incredible people, and one person in particular that I've gotten to know for many years, John Celentano. I just, again, so thankful that he allowed me to interview the people he worked with, and the leader of the Social Action Committee, Ken Driver, Fred Wise, who is the Grand Knight of Knights of Columbus, Jennifer Sullivan, an attorney, and John Celentano, who's part of the Social Action Committee. These four people have made a big difference in St. Ignatius of Antioch Parish in Yardley, Pennsylvania, in a program called Community Emergency Fund to help those in need, to help those that are really hurting. And I know for myself here in Southern California, and you may have, those listening in various cities, you may have heard the news that the Los Angeles Basin, LA in particular, but also Orange County is one of the hot spots for the COVID outbreaks, and the number of people that, and so many people I know, have either have the disease or have gotten it. And it's really a big issue, and it's really impacted people in so many walks of life that are out of work or their work was dramatically reduced. You know, as we focus on this, this may be a program that you want to put into your own parish. Now, certainly organizations like St. Vincent de Paul and other organizations do some similar things, but to really start up and say, we want to make a difference in this hour of need and start this emergency fund and start this community emergency fund, whatever you want to call it, and to make a difference to help those who are in the midst of this pandemic and really struggling. So, Jennifer, I want to ask you a question of your thoughts on having people start this up. And is there some address, email address that they could contact you on to get more information, or any member of the committee here to help them get this started within their parish?
Yes, we encourage you to start a similar fund or program in your parish. It's really, you know, I think for the committee here, when I say it's been a blessing, I think not only for those in the community, but for us all, especially during such a dark time. So if you're interested, we encourage you to reach out to us. We'd be happy to answer any questions you may have or provide the assistance that we can provide. The best way to reach us is via email at our parish, contact@stignatius.church, contact@stignatius.church. If you could put in, you know, your email, community emergency fund, and we'd be happy to answer any questions or help you in any way we can.
That's awesome. Very important question for me to ask you, and that is, as a result of what you went through in the development, the implementation of the Community Emergency Fund, how did you grow spiritually? How did the response to this, the feeling that knowing the fact that you were not alone, the Holy Spirit was guiding you, how did that get you closer to Christ? Now, I'm going to start with you, Ken, if you could share how you grew spiritually as a result of this Community Emergency Fund program.
What comes to my mind is that in many occasions, talking to people, you hear their stories, and then you end up empathizing with them and sharing any insights that you might have yourself. And so I'll share something that, that I've shared with quite a few people, is that I've learned over the years that I pray practically every day to St. Rita. And St. Rita is the saint of improbable or impossible causes. And I've learned that to pray, you know, to God and all the other saints that I pray to, but in praying to St. Rita, in my personal life, she has helped out so many times, and I've shared that with people. That just reinforces that we're doing God's work by doing this. It's not just giving out the money, but it's being a listening ear and sharing with people your own personal experiences.
And it's so important just to listen to people, to learn how to listen from your heart, not to try to solve their problems right away, but let them tell you what's going on. And I'll give you an example. And one of the things that just made a big impact on me is just listening to some of these stories. And here's one. Praise be to God. Thank you so much. There aren't words to describe how much this blesses my family. I'm literally crying, hands trembling in awe and overflowing gratitude. This blessing will allow me to buy plentiful groceries for my children, needed cleaning and household supplies, and gasoline for my vehicle. God bless you and the body of Christ at St. Ignatius Church. This is truly an answer to my prayers. Fred Wise, who is in charge, a grand knight for the Knights of Columbus there in this parish, St. Ignatius of Antioch in Yardley, Pennsylvania. How did this help you grow spiritually and even help you as a knight?
It's funny that you mentioned that. I've had this thought over the past few months. I think over the course of my life, I've been involved as a volunteer in any number of organizations and different roles. And at times, I think those of us, well, maybe not many of us, but sometimes I think that those roles can become a burden if we let it. You know, we might have the thought that, oh, I have another meeting out this night, or I have to organize this meeting or this activity or whatsoever. But it just seems recently I've come to the realization that I give it to the Holy Spirit. And I said in prayer that, you know, I give this to you. It's not me. Just help me through this. You let your will be done. And I come away with a different perspective. And, you know, reading and seeing the some of the thank you notes, for example, that you just read, one of them, just kind of reinforces that it's really not me. To an extent, it's me, but, you know, I certainly need the help in doing this work. And it really just does change my perspective.
My brothers and sisters, in John 15, it talks about the vine and the branches. It says, I am the vine, and the Father is the vine grower. And it talks about how we are the branches, and whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. The Holy Spirit is what drives us through the love of Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, drives us into action, drives us to make a difference. Jennifer Sullivan, as an attorney, how has this made a big impact on you and help you grow spiritually overall?
Well, I mean, you read Deacon Steve that thank you note, and I can't, you know, we got countless notes like that. I don't know how it can help inspire you. You know, you also gave us the quote, Matthew 25:35 earlier, to welcome the stranger. I think that personally, that's a personal, my favorite Bible verse and something I strive to live by. And I think that this fund really gave us the opportunity to put that in action. And I actually saw our pastor a few weeks ago, and I thanked him for the opportunity. I mean, I know we were, you know, I'm grateful that we were able to help so many people. I'm also so grateful that I got to work on this, which has allowed me to grow closer to God. So I appreciate that, and appreciate the opportunity to work with my fellow committee members.
We have a saying out here, thank you for your yes. And it's so important to thank one another, to saying yes to the Holy Spirit, yes to Jesus, yes to making a difference. And I want to thank each of you for your yes. And my friend John Celentano, thank you for your yes. Tell us how this has impacted you and how you've grown spiritually as a result of this program.
Yeah, thank you, Steve. So for me, I've always thought that, you know, faith without action doesn't really make a difference. I always felt compelled to do something for other people, as others have done for me. But actually, this work was much more personal. The thank you notes became very personal. It's not like sending money to a charity that's sort of anonymous. These are our neighbors. These are people that we've met through the work that we've done, even though we've stayed anonymous sometimes. You know, people have asked to connect with us. I have some ongoing personal relationships with people. And so I reflect in the morning, perhaps a lot more than I used to, is what kind of difference do I need to make today? Because making that difference and having had that personal connection, I feel closer to my neighbor, and in some ways closer to God, and in some ways more accountable for giving back whatever our gifts I've been given so that other people can benefit from that. And see what faith looks like in action in our local community.
It is working in love and allowing that love to turn into action. As we look at Scripture, we look at the second chapter of James, and John's comments really reminded me of this important Scripture. And John 2, starting at verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? if a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? See also, faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. My brothers and sisters, we have been called to action. We have been called to make a difference. These four wonderful people from Yardley, Pennsylvania, have made a difference in developing a community emergency fund during the midst of the pandemic to make a difference in the lives of so many. Any final thoughts from anyone before we close in prayer?
Thank you, Stephen, Steve, for the opportunity to share the story that we have here. And hopefully this pandemic will be behind us soon.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, I want to thank each of you for your time, your service to your parish, your service to your community, your service to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we praise you and worship you. We glorify you. And we ask, Lord God, for the end of this pandemic. We ask, Lord God, to heal those that currently are impacted or have been impacted by the COVID-19 virus. We ask that they be healed through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We ask for blessings upon all of our priests, all religious, all of our leaders. We ask, Lord God, that each person listening, Lord God, truly be anointed by the Holy Spirit and to be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You have been on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless everyone.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.